Jesus in this message today. I feel it already today. A couple of things just to remind you again. Wednesday night takes place at Living Faith Church. We have a tremendous opportunity. Oscar Gonzalez, who's a great Bible teacher, he'll lead this session. Of course, I'll be here with him, but he can do it by himself if he has to. But I'm going to be thankful that I'm here with him. We'll do a Q&A also. That'll be good about the last days. You're interested in that? See, this is your opportunity. Amen. This is what you've been waiting for. Some of you, I can't wait. I love the last days and all that stuff. And well, here you go. Amen. We got what you wanted. Amen. I hope you show up. Give me a good amen. All right. Have you ever noticed that the loudest voice in the room, of course, gets the most attention? And is it possible that sometimes that all of our problems stem from a hearing problem? And I'm talking about a spiritual hearing problem. Sometimes in the natural we have hearing problems and that causes, but I believe that we can lose our way when we don't have a voice, when we don't hear the voice of God. I'll make a bold statement. Learning to hear the voice of God is probably the solution to thousands of problems. If you hear God's voice, you're going to discover your destiny. You're going to discover the fulfillment of your potential. Because how many know God is love? And His voice is love. God heals, and He's a healer. So God's voice is healing, right? And God's voice is powerful. He's powerful. So God's voice brings power to a life. His voice is healing, and so wisdom and joy. And so thank God. We live in a culture that everyone wants their voice to be heard. And you know, they have something to say, but it's something not in really, there's nothing there for them to say when they say it. Because we do so little listening from God today. If we listen to God, we'll find our voice. If we listen to God, we'll repeat what He says, and you'll get that voice today. But finding your voice really begins by hearing from God, because there's a uniqueness about you that nobody else has on that, that's on your pew today, so to speak, or next to you. They're made differently. There's a uniqueness. And so God speaks to you differently, and you'll find your voice today. You want to be different? Hear from God today, right? Yeah. So are you ready to hear God's voice? When is the last time that you heard God speak to you? And don't answer me out loud, because you'll be the weirdo in the room, and you don't want to be the weirdo in the room. What did He say to you? How did you respond? Elijah the prophet, and that's going to go up there, was hearing from God. But look how he was looking, and maybe he was just looking in the wrong direction, and he had this perception about God, and God didn't show up. And it's an incredible verse. 1 Kings 19 on the big screen says this: "And then a great and powerful wind tore a mountain apart." How many know that's a pretty powerful wind? Yeah, it shattered the rocks before the Lord. And the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind came, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Yeah, and after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came what? And so God had that lean-in moment that He wanted Elijah. Here, I'm going to talk to you right now. I am desperate for a move of God in my life. And you should be also, because we're normal to have that. It should keep you going as a Christian today. It's critical, some of us, that we would know the will of God for our lives, or we would hear from God at this very moment. So the message of God's love language is when we cut through all the noise, all the distractions, and we're listening to God today. We learn how to hear the voice of God these following Sundays today. God is a God of relationship. And so for you to have a relationship like the one that you fell in love with, and maybe you're sitting next to you today, it had to begin because you opened your mouth and talked. Well, He didn't talk anymore, and I can't get Him to talk anymore. Well, He didn't start out that way. That's how He got you, right? By talking. Amen? God is this God that's so personal that He wants to speak to us. And God is the God that spoke creation in Genesis 1. He spoke light and light appeared. Moses was a man that heard from God at a burning bush, and God gave him an altering experience so he could have his destiny and do what he, because he heard from God, the voice of God. He also went to a mountain one day, and then he came down with commandments. They were called 10 Commandments because he heard from God. Noah got the blueprints from God to build an ark that would save his family because he heard God spoke to him and he carried that. Jesus was God in the flesh, man suit on, and he walked around. And you know what he did? He talked. God talked to people. He gave beautiful thoughts and he talked one-on-one to people. He healed people with his voice. So God is still a speaking God. Well, the voice of God is gone. No, he's not. God's a relationship God. He gives us his word and he speaks through his word. Thank God for the wisdom. Have you noticed there are extremes about people hearing from God? The extreme one way is this way. People that do all the talking. They talk, 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 talk. It's a monologue. They don't let God talk to them back, but they do all the talking. That's nobody I'm looking at. I'm looking at the exit sign right now. And God, they do all the talking. The other extreme might be this person. They're the people that get the detailed instructions from God. Well, God told me to come to church today. God told me to stay at home because it was going to rain. God told me to get popcorn when I went into the movie theater. God told me to turn right. God told me to eat Frosted Flakes instead of Wheaties today. And what I think about that is God's not going to waste his precious voice on you and your cereal, right? It's just one you like today. And so in between the two, there's a balance. And the balance is you want to talk to God, but he wants to speak to you. How do we hear the voice of God? How do we attune our ear today? I want you to prepare to hear from the Lord. How do we prepare to do that today? And that's what we'll do this morning in Luke chapter 8 on the big screen in your handout. You can look at it in your devices. It's not in your handout today, but look it up there or you can stare at the easy. I love this version of the Bible because it's the easy read version. And so you can find those there. It says the farmer. Somebody say farmer. Hey, by the way, I heard this funny joke. Can I tell it to you real quick about a farmer? Yeah, it's not Porfulio, but he could be Porfulio's brother. This farmer's driving along a road, and he has a load of fertilizer in the back. And a little boy's playing in his front yard, saw the fertilizer farmer, you know, coming, and he goes, "Hey, what you got in your truck?" "Fertilizer," the farmer said. He says, "What are you going to do with it?" Little boy says. He says, "I'm going to put it on my strawberries." The little boy said, "Hey, you ought to live here because we put sugar on our strawberries." That doesn't taste good, does it? Yeah, God does good things with fertilizer. Amen. He grows people. So a farmer, Jesus was talking to his agriculture audience, and there was a lot of them there, so they could relate to what Jesus was saying. And a farmer went out to sow seed, and he scattered seed. Some fell beside the road. And the people walked on the seed, and the bird ate it. Somebody say road. Yeah, so that's where that seed fell on that ground. Another seed fell on the rock. Somebody say rock. And it began to grow, but then it died because it had no water. And then some seed fell among thorny weeds, and the seed grew, but later the weed, another interpretation says it choked it, and the plant stopped growing. Verse 8 says this, the rest of the seed, it fell on good ground, and the seed grew and made 100 times more grain. And when, look at this, when Jesus had finished telling the story, he called out. He said, "You people who hear me, listen." And I thought that was quite interesting that, well, I'm already listening. Or maybe it could be like you on Sunday mornings that, you know, we our eyes are open, but we're really not hearing. It's like the toothpicks are keeping them open, right? But you're staring straight through what we're hearing. Are you know, you've had those conversations with people and you finally say, "Are you really hearing me?" And Jesus was saying that at that very moment with the conversation, that he really wanted people to listen to what he was saying and to lean into what he was saying. In the Message Bible, that same scripture says this, says, "Are you listening to this? Really listening to this?" And it's that point. I don't think God has a talking problem, but I think we have a hearing problem that needs to take place. And so we cut through the noise and we hear what God's voice is saying. This story of the seed was so important in the ground, which represents us, the seed, the word of God, and the ground represents you today, the soil today. It was so important to Jesus that he retold it. He said, let me explain what I'm about to tell you about what it really means, this. I think God was trying to tell us something through the story if he had to say it again, right? To his followers. Who's a follower of Jesus? Okay, three of you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We're going to heaven. There are four scenarios. I usually do three scenarios. I'm going to give you one more. I hope we don't something weird doesn't happen because I gave you four today. These four scenarios are, you're one of them. Okay, I'm going to give you the good news. Okay, so let's hope that we're the one that we need to be. If not, we can make course adjustments. Right, everybody? The first one, somebody say contaminated. The contaminated heart or the contaminated ground. If you have something on earth that you're trying to do, the ground can't be contaminated if it's going to be built upon. It has to be cleared away, moved away, or it's not going to happen. We have a nonstop pollution problem that happens to us spiritually as people. So contamination, it's a mounted attack from the enemy, from voices, and it comes at us, and it's nonstop. How many of you recognize that in your culture that you live in? Workplace, driving along a highway, you know, you're going to get polluted today. And so Luke chapter 8 on the big screen says this, those along the path are the ones that hear, and the devil comes, which the devil always offers a counterfeit. He always offers a sham or something that's not real or something that's false today. It glows and it's shiny, but if you dig through it, it's going to stink. Because that's what the devil does. So the devil gives us, yeah, but that it takes away the word from the heart, and so that they may not believe and be saved. So when contamination comes towards us or pollution comes towards us so we won't grow, it's kind of like this. You know, I'm a sinner saved by grace, and sometimes as a sinner, we make wrong choices, and we cause contamination to come. We shouldn't have done that. We did that. We're all in that same boat. How many know the other contamination might be something like this? Somebody told you something and it hurt you, or you heard that they talked about you behind your back, and there's this great offense that happens. The people that love you the most hurt you the most sometimes. Are y'all in the same boat with us? Yeah? Yeah, we're all in the Titanic. Is that okay with everybody? And so all these things happen to us in our lives, and contamination has a way. And the Bible speaks clearly, if you have something against a brother or you have an offense, that you need to go to them privately and take care of it. Because Jesus even said this, if you don't do that, I'm not going to come speak to you when you come to the altar. I'm not going to hear your prayers if you have something against your brother. You have to take care of whatever is stopping the flow from God and have that conversation with that person. It doesn't need to be yelling or screaming. How many know that? But there needs to be, look, how about something like this approach? You know I love you so much that what you said bothered me and it hurt me. Wouldn't that be a good approach? Instead of saying, why'd you talk about me, bro? What's up, huh? Because usually people that love you the most hurt you the most, but you have to have that conversation. I love you so much, it hurt me that this happened, and explain it to me. Oh, there's a misunderstanding, or whatever they say, right, everybody? And they go, you know you were wrong, right? No, let me back up here. You deal with the contamination so God can speak to you and you grow in the Lord. Life can get off key because we have the voice of criticism coming at us. And we feel that, well, everything's critical against me, and I believe that about myself. Or you hear the enemy's voice about condemnation of what you did 20 years ago, 10 years ago, a day ago, and you've asked God to forgive you. And it's that voice of condemnation that you begin to say, I'm condemned. And God is saying, no, you know, that contamination. Is God the loudest voice in your life? And if he's not, there's a problem. If you know more about reality shows and you know more about the schedule of the TV, then God is not the loudest voice in your life. And I hate to put it that way. We have the lifestyles of the hard of hearing spiritually, if that is the thing that is affecting you. Because if you know more of that than you know more of God, then you can't begin a new life until you get rid of your old life. And we have this creep that comes in that wants to get us back on God's love language. Lord, speak to me and let it fall on good ground today so I can hear your voice today. The second thought is this, the distracted heart or the distracted soil, the distracted ground. Distractions kind of get your attention, don't you? You're having that conversation with somebody, you know, yakking it up. And then all somebody yells across the room, "Hey, Bob! Bob!" You know, and you're looking at, you know, they interrupt you and because they're speaking to you. Or you're having a conversation maybe at the Alamo Dome, you know, and you're yelling across, you know, 20 rows of, you know, of seats, and they're, you know, on row 18 or whatever, you're at row 1, and you're, but there's so much noise that you can't hear them. It's a distracted heart because you're hearing all these other voices and you can't tune in. Look at what the Lord said, how he explained the distracted heart. Luke chapter 8, verse 13 on the big screen and in your handout. It says this, "And the rocky soil represents those that hear the message with joy." Man, best Sunday ever. Yeah. "And the Lord, but like young plants in such soil, their roots do not go very deep. And they believe for a while." Best Sunday ever. They walk out. The worship was awesome. Did you see the altar, man? But then Monday comes. And then, you know, life begins to happen. And you got to wait till Sunday till you come back. And you can't rent the worship team to come back. And it says, look, but they wilt because Monday morning happened and you faced work. Or they wilt and you had the relationship. They wilt when the hot winds. How many know there's going to be some testing? Yeah, there will be. It'll happen when you walk out of here today and somebody took your parking or whatever it might be. Or you, the distracted heart has so much competition. Isn't technology wonderful? It is. I mean, you think about all the stuff. I told you that the cell phone has replaced like 50 things that you used to carry around. You don't need to carry around a flashlight anymore, a leveler. The thing got updated. Now I got a measuring thing I can put on there. Right? It's pretty incredible. All these instruments are on my phone today. Technology, right now, the gospel's being heard to others that couldn't make it this morning. They're watching online. That's amazing. That's technology, right? But you know what? They say confession is good for the soul, but bad for the reputation. So I'm going to confess something to you. I'm distracted by my smartphone when it comes to my devotional life. And I know I'm the only person like that in this room. See, I have everything on my phone. I got a Bible on my phone. I even got commentaries that I can punch up. And so I can always, like, have something to say if I need to. And I'm, you know, I have YouTube that I could watch great things on there. And I, so all these things, all these apps are on my phone. And you know what happens when I should give God the very best, the first time, the first fruits, and I wake up and saying, "Good morning, Lord," instead of punching in. So here's what happens usually, not every day, but some days when I'm tempted and the devil wins. And I don't want him to win on my good ground, right? So I'm confessing it to you guys so y'all can pray for Pastor Mario because he's not that good, right? And it's like this. I want to go to the Bible and do my YouVersion devotion and app. And I punch that in because I have some good ones in there that I go through and I do my devotions on. But you ever have those things on your email thing and it has like, there's 3 messages on my email. I wonder who sent that. And then I have these 3 notifications on Facebook. Somebody retweeted me and it shows me that 2 or 3. And then at Instagram, somebody wants to be my friend on it. And so I'm tempted to go, I wonder who wants to be my friend. I wonder what they said about me on Twitter. I wonder what my Facebook thing. I wonder how many emails. That email's real important. Oh, text messages. I missed 3 text messages. I have to find out what the... And so instead of giving God my best, my first, I wander off because I have this smartphone that makes me stupid in my spiritual life. Right? And so I know that Jesus had the same thing about a lady that had a smartphone in his ministry, so to speak, because she got distracted. She meant well, but she got distracted. And her name was Martha. And if your name is Martha, I'm sorry today, but we know you're not that way today. In Luke chapter 10, verse 39, are you there with me? It says this, and so she had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet. This is the Amplified Version. That means it's real loud. Can you hear it? Okay, you finally got that. Amen. Good. First service, man, you all stunk. But second service brought it today. Amen. And so the Lord, she was sitting at the Lord's feet, and she was listening to his teaching. And like a rabbi would the disciples and followers, she sat at Jesus' feet. What a posture to take, right? But look at there. But Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted by what? too much serving. Yeah, today. I'll be up front with you, man. If Jesus was coming to my house, I'd want it clean. And during this time, it said that about 70 people were following Jesus. That's a pretty big entourage, right? 70 people were with him. So you better have some food ready. That house is going to be packed, and you better have it clean, and everything needs to be wiped down. I mean, you'd want it ready. It wasn't that Martha, really, Mary was lazy, because she later said, Lord, would you tell Mary to help? Because all she's doing right now is just at your feet worshiping, and she should be helping me. I'm running around doing all this stuff. And it wasn't that Mary wasn't lazy. Mary had helped serve. She'd helped clean. But she knew the right thing to do. Jesus had walked into the house, and she knelt at his feet and worshiped him. Martha, just a good example of you serve so much and you lose what serving's about. It's to glorify God, isn't it? There's been times that a servant will come and it's all about what they're doing, and they get so into their serve that they look around and they go, why aren't you helping me? Why aren't you doing what I'm doing? And they lie. I want to quit, Pastor, because I'm burned out and I can't do anymore. Well, can you tell me about your devotional life? Can you tell me when's the last time you really prayed? When's the last time that you read your Bible and opened it up and looked at it? Oh, come on, Pastor, you don't talk to me that way. I don't want to hear that. Sometimes what you don't want to hear is what you need to hear. And you lose your joy in serving. I don't think any Christian can ever burn out. I'll be upfront with you. If you have a devotional life. Yeah, because it's going to keep proper perspective. I can't do that right now. I can't answer that. I can't go to that email. I can't go to everything, but I can worship God. And you have to say no to some things so you can do what God's telling you to do. Amen. And so to hear from God's voice, to hear his voice distinctly, I got to turn down the world's volume today. Amen. I'll talk about serving in a minute in the proper perspective of that. Serving the Lord and spending time with him. Amen. We talked about the contaminated heart. Talked about the distracted heart. How about three? The immature heart, right? And that's a Christian, and he's in park. You know Noe? He no goe. You get that? There's no Noe here today, so I can talk about Noe today. And it's that Christian. You're told to move, and you won't move. In Luke chapter 8, verse 14, it says this: the seeds that fell among the weeds, have you noticed weeds happen? You don't have to plant them, they just grow, right? You drive by a lot and you see a place full of weeds, the first thing that comes to your mind is probably neglect, right? It's neglected ground. So it says this, the fell among the weeds stand for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked about the worries, life's worries, riches, pleasures, and they don't what? So we want to grow, right, in the things of God. If you're not willing to hear everything that God has to tell you and listen to what God has to tell you, I'll pick and choose. I only want God to tell me about this, but I'm not going to hear any. Then you're not going to hear what God wants to tell you, because you got it. I want to hear God's comfort. No, God wants to speak to you about this conviction thing. And I'm not going to hear about, well, again, we need to hear what God's telling us, but he gives us the full package, and we need to hear everything, the whole counsel of God today, right? And I'm so thankful that you trust me, you're going to want to hear what God wants to tell you, even if it's saying, hey, correct that thing, because, hey, you're not going to marry him. Those of you who are single, give me a good amen. Don't marry him. Wait. Amen. You want to hear that so you save your life on that issue. This is the way you raise your children. He's talking to the father today, or a mama today. This is what you instruct your daughter to do. And so you want to hear from God, because their life, they'll save you 5 years of heartache. You want to hear from God. Going deeper with God is like this lifelong pursuit. It never get you always want to hear from God today. Amen. When I would have conversations, or we would have conversations with our children, how many know the first things that my children said weren't Dada? They were Mama, because she taught them that. And Jesus, and I'm still, you know, what was the first thing they say? They said Mama, because she hung with our kids when they were little. And so one of the things that Irma would do with Rebecca, I remember when she was learning to talk, was she taught her to count in Spanish. It's pretty cool, right? You know, bilingual little. So she uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, and that's all I can go, right? I'm not that bilingual. Amen. So she told her to count to 10, and it was neat. We would talk. So Rebecca got in her head. She had the number one, you know, uno, dos. And so when we were driving one time, the strangest thing happened. She was in her baby seat, and she was sitting. I still remember. And she saw these two arches that were like an M in the horizon. And she looked and pointed and said, dos, 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 dos. And I was going, what is she saying? Two, two, two in Spanish. And she was seeing the McDonald's arches, the golden arches. And she knew that was the promised land, where she could get a happy meal and everything would be so cool. She couldn't say McDonald's. She said, and I think as Christian people, we don't mature and we're still talking baby language to the Lord. We never get past the uno, the dos. And God wants to take us deeper. You want to go higher with God so we mature in the Lord. We get distracted by life's worries, by pleasures, and they block our views, so we don't grow from God and we don't discipline ourselves and mature ourselves in the things of God. Have you checked your spiritual life? Have you done an inventory? Have you said, Lord, am I stronger in my spirit this year? Am I growing more than I was last year? And well, I blame the church. I blame pastor because he's not inspiring. That's not a Christian. A Christian is self-fed. A Christian walks with God on Monday as much as he walks with him on Sunday. That's maturity, really. That's where you drink the milk and you say, well, I want meat. Well, you're still immature. You need to grow in the things of God. Amen. Well, I'm not going to worship one and serve one, even though you've been asking me. You think I'm crazy? I'm going to spend all my morning at Living Faith Church. I have something else better to do. Well, you're going to be immature, because a serving person grows in God. They choose to serve. You mean I got to be here on time and then I got to be nice to people? That's what mature people do. There was this brother a couple of years ago, and he was my brother, and we were talking, and he was serving, and he told me, he said, you know what I've learned, Pastor, by doing this? I got to bring my A game on Sunday mornings. What do you mean? He says, I have to be ready in my spirit. I got to be ready in the way I present myself, because I know that the pressure's going to be put on me because of the way I serve. I still got to be nice to people, the way I greet them and that sort of thing. And you know what that man was just telling me? I'm growing in God. I'm maturing in the things of God. I'm going to show up even though it's raining outside. I'm going to show up even though it might be stormy outside. Is that okay with everybody? And there's a balance in it, but you know what I'm saying. Discipline keeps coming, and it keeps maturing, and you grow in the things of God. Amen. We grow because someone mature, more mature than we do, speaks into our lives, and we apply it to our lives, and we grow, and we grow, and we grow, because a human voice that's mature in God speaks into our life, and we're able to get that counsel, and we grow from the Lord. Right, everybody? And so what's your next season of growth? What are you pursuing God? For the men in this room, you need to go to Man Up 2018. Amen. Seriously, you need to be there at 9 a.m. Stay, don't be half, don't be half, don't be a half man. And go leave during the afternoon after you eat the barbecue plate, which, by the way, is a two-meat barbecue plate plus dessert. You know how much it is to go into Man Up this year? It's $25. How much would a two-meat barbecue plate cost you at a good restaurant, a good barbecue joint? About $15, right? Even Bill Miller's is, I think, is 13. The last time I looked, man, Bill Miller ain't cheap anymore. Remember, he used to be, well, you get the fried chicken. Maybe you know how to do it, right, with all of us, right? Yeah, we know how to get a dish. But go to Man Up, because half of it, the 25, is your meal, or more than half of it. You don't have to leave a tip. You'll hear a powerful message by Pastor Ed Newton of Community Bible. You'll do these things called tune-up shops, which are like breakout sessions about manhood, about your marriage, about so forth. You give one day to God. It's an intensive day. You get to sleep in your own bed at night. It's not like going on a camping trip and going to, you know, you're going to have to stay overnight. It's $25 to invest into yourself today. Hey, one last thing. Man of God in this room, your wife is crying out that you would go. Honor your wife. She really would. I want my man to go. You're do it for your grandchildren's sake, your children's sake, because you'll become better. Amen. No one's arrived in this room. We all need more of God, right? You want to mature. You say, well, I'm not a man. You know, you can be involved in a small group. There's a 5 love language group that began. Lisa and Alex Copeland, you can see them about that today. They're leading that. You can go and improve your relationship skills within your marriage or your couple situation. You can serve Friday at the adult daycare. Estella leads that today, and we need helping hands going to love on people today, and that's Friday. You can go serve. Serve, right, everybody? You grow in God, and you do that. Maturity comes when we stop making excuses and start making changes, right? Some of us don't hear from God because we have a contaminated ground, we have a distracted ground, and we have an immature heart. Finally, number 4, somebody say 4. Shout the prepared heart. Have this expectation. I have this Waze app on my phone, and it tells me how to get and where to turn. But here's what happens on the Waze app. If I got like 10 miles to go down a road, it won't talk to me. And it talks to me like when I'm about to turn, but sometimes I'm looking at it and I'm going, am I still going the right way? And I'm looking at that app and looking straight ahead, and I'm going, yeah, I guess I'm still going the right way, because I want it to talk to me. I'm impatient. Am I going the right way? I know I'm the only Baptist here that thinks that, right, everybody? Why hasn't it talked to me? And I want God to do that. I want you to talk to me immediately. But right before, God is this way, just like that app. Before you have to turn, I'm going to tell you to turn. And it tells you to turn right as you approach it. Is that okay with everybody? When I thought the series would minister to you, you know what the Lord told me? He said, prepare my people to hear. And then he says, I want them to have big ears spiritually. So turn to your neighbor and say, you got big ears. Turn to second choice. Person you don't want to look at, you got big ears. Amen. She didn't look at me, but that's okay. Amen. Yeah. There's this crepe myrtle that I got in the corner of my front yard on the side there, and it's grown to be a beautiful tree. It has these flowers. It looks like snow. You know, crepe myrtles do that, the flowers. And it's gotten so healthy now that it started reproducing, but it reproduced kind of in a bad area of my yard. And so I said, you know, it's growing pretty, you know, I saw this little plant growing. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to dig it up. That way I don't have to go buy one, you know, save some money. I'm going to dig it up, and I'm going to plant it in my backyard so it kind of grows right in the center of my fence post. And it'll be a beautiful crepe myrtle that grows in that the big mamas over here in the front yard, and see if what happens. So I buried it in August when there was no rain. We were going through, and I watered it, and it, you know, of course it died. I spoke into it, live in the name of Jesus. It wouldn't live, and tried to resurrect it. It died, and the hole where I got that root out, you know, the plant, the baby crepe myrtle. I put, you know, just soil on the front yard in that thing. Well, what happened was after all this rain came, do you know what happened? The crepe myrtle appeared where I dug it out in the front yard that I thought I had killed, full root and everything. And another one, a little thing came up like that little crepe myrtle. I go, hey, little guy. And you know, it's growing, man. It's growing again. And you know what happened to the one that died in the backyard? It began to grow again. I want you to be like that crepe myrtle. I want you to not die. in the things of God. I want you to, that not, even if dirt gets on top of you, if the life's problems gets on top of you, if things, situations happen, that you just keep coming back and you keep persisting and you push through life's situations. Thank you, Jesus. Right, everybody? In Luke chapter 8, verse 15 on the big screen, it says this, you're that good seed. This is you. But the good seed is on good soil. You're here this morning. You're hearing me right now. Stands with those that are noble and a good heart. And they hear the word and they retain it. And they persevere by producing. You just can't stop them. They keep coming back. The Bible speaks of James. He said, you got to be doers of the word, not only hearers, right? See, do the word, what it's told you to do. I believe that you prepare your heart in such a way. These are extra notes today for the people that really love Jesus. And if you're not taking notes, take notes. These are three extra things that I need to tell you about the prepared heart. Number one is this, repent, right? If you're not doing right and you want to prepare your heart, repent. In other words, repentance is just saying, we all have that one thing. I'm pointing the finger at me. You have that one thing that you need to repent on. And then repentance means you don't keep going back to the vomit and eating it again because you're going to vomit again. The dog returns to his vomit, right? You want to leave that and go forward if you want a prepared heart, good ground, that you have the hundredfold return today. Go the right way. We all know the right way to go. You just need to make up your mind to do it. And you've been told now to do it. Amen. Over and over. How about this one? The second one is, somebody say refocus. For some of us in our health, you need to go to bed early. You stay up too late, and it's affecting your spiritual life. You go back to your devotional life. You used to read the Bible. You don't. And I can get a scripture for the best of them, but why don't you just, beyond that one scripture of the day, you go deeper, and you ponder that scripture, and you read that scripture, and you think about that scripture before you answer the email, before you go on to your phone and everything else, and you pray and ask God. It's okay to be alone with God. It's okay to be, I'm lonely. No, if you're with God, you're not going to be lonely. Dedication requires separation. Dedication requires separation. Moses was alone. And you know what God did in a burning bush? He gave him his life-altering message, his destiny message. And then one time he pulled down 10 commandments, right? Jesus was alone in a garden. And he won the war. He got up and went to the cross for us, right? Good things happen when you're alone with God. Paul was alone in jail with God, and he had a pen, and he wrote half of the New Testament. Right, everybody? I'm preaching better than your amen, but I'm going to take it. Amen. John the Beloved, he was banished to this island called Patmos, and he got a revelation from God. And so it's okay to be alone. The final one is this, revive. We go after revival in our lives, and we desire God, and only he will satisfy today. Right, everybody? You haven't had any fun all day long. I haven't asked you to read scripture. This scripture, this final scripture, would you do your outside voice, not your inside voice, inside the house of God? Would you read this with your outside? Some of y'all can do that, right? Dinner's ready! No. Outside voice, right? Come in. Wash your hands, son. Amen. This is the outside voice. Let's read this out loud today, right? On three. Are you ready? One, two, three, go. Let us make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts us. Let us make our... Get rid of that stuff. You did great today, Living Faith. I'm going to talk to you and show you that final thing which you got, and then we'll be finished, okay? Promise. I've been depressed... Why don't you even bring down the lights just a little bit? Maybe that would help with the mood right now. I've been depressed twice that nobody even knew about, not even my wife, because I wanted to be the strong guy. I was pastoring this church, but nobody knew what I was going through. A severe attack came against me, and the result was I got depressed, much like anybody in this room that's been depressed. And I didn't recognize I was depressed until after I got out of it. Anybody been like me? Being honest and being transparent. So I remember being desperate for God, and I remember both times all I had, because I remember the first time I got so depressed, I didn't want to, I said, look, this is how far I took it in my mind. My wife was going to be okay. I'm going to set this up so if something happens to me, which was the end of me by my hand, and y'all know what I'm talking about because depression was that severe, Irma will still be taken care of. The kids will be fine, but I'll set this up. And that's how the devil had me in depression. The second time, it was a physical thing that happened to me, and it was so severe that I got depressed, and I just remember, like, my life is going to end. What's going to become of me? And I was alone, and I was in a dark place in my life like I've never experienced. I used to think when people would tell me they were depressed before I went through what I went through, I go, yeah, I would think, yeah, get over it. What's the matter with you? You got a nice house. You drive a nice car. You got a good job. Get over it, man. But now, it rains on the just and the unjust. Amen. How I got out, I still remember. It wasn't immediate, but it was like this trenching ice pick thing, climbing out of a hole or climbing up a mountain that was full of ice. And it was ice pick at a time going up inch by inch. The first time I remember, a mature brother came. He said more than he knows, but he was more mature. And the situation that had gone on was so severe. And he came in and he told me, as he prayed for me, he said this. He said, it's going to be okay, Mario. It's going to be okay, as he laid his hand on me. And his word just resonated all the way down deep in my soul. And I still remember, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I didn't snap out of it immediately, but that was the beginning of my healing. The second time was the physical thing that attacked me, that I remember I was worshiping God. It wasn't with the band, and I love our worship here, but it was my private devotion, because I had my Bible, I had my journal, and I had to force feed myself. I said, I'm not going to die this way. This isn't going to be the end of me. And I began to read the Bible. I began to journal. I began to listen to worship music more intently. And I remember the song that was on. It was about healing. And it was down in my soul. And I heard the words, I'm healing you right now. I'm healing you right now. And I'll be up front with you. The manifestation of that didn't happen immediately, but I got my word from God. And I trenched my way out of it. See, this final thought, God's voice is the clearest when it's in a prepared atmosphere. And because my atmosphere was prepared, my ground was prepared, the good seed went in, and then it produced. Okay, I don't want depression or hard times to come to anybody in this room, because I love you that much. We love you that much as pastors in this room. But I do know what it takes to grow in God. And it takes a daily discipline of God's word. It takes a daily discipline of prayer until you mature. That's how you mature in the thing. Even when I don't feel like it, even when you don't feel like it, when all hell's against you. Yes, today. Amen. Amen. Do you receive the word of God? Amen. Let's grow in God today. In the name of Jesus, do you receive the word of God? Amen. 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 Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the touch of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I call Living Faith to prepare their ground. I come against contaminated ground, polluted ground right now. They need to make a choice today, as I did, Lord. I thank you, Father. We forgive people that need to be forgiven right now. And then we make a phone call. We forgive them in our heart, Lord. If we sin, God, forgive me, God. Yeah, you need to do that today. You don't want to be polluted in your ground today. Distracted heart today, Father. My focus is on Jesus. Make a prayer like that. I'm not going to be distracted, even if it's serving. God, I'm going to come back to the right perspective about serving today. Thank you, Jesus. In maturity, Lord, I just thank you. We grow. We discipline. Yeah, we give time to the Lord today. We grow, even when we don't feel like it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Touch the people of faith today, Living Faith, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. As I continue to pray, you're far away from God in this room. Getting near to God is very simple, but it costs you everything. Surrendering to God, it's worth it, though. You're not joining this church. You're making a prayer. The prayer is, Jesus, come into my heart and live. It's simply as that. I want to lead you in that simple prayer. If that's you in this room or on our internet right now, you pray this prayer with me today. If that's you, just pray this prayer right now. Pray a prayer like this. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, Jesus. Make me whole. Thank you for a new beginning. My life is yours, Lord. I'll live for you all the days of my life. If you prayed that prayer, Christ is in your life today. Begin the journey right now. Amen. Walk with God today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. All of God's children say, amen. 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 Let's honor the word of God right now. We honor your word, Lord. You've spoken to us. The word is to be esteemed in this house. The Bible, yes, it's holy. Thank God for it today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, today. Amen. This morning, I have the privilege today of having the Ziegler's come up, and they're almost ready to come, and they're coming as I speak today. If you have a prayer need, again, the connection card is in front of you, and then the Growing in Faith class happens at 9 a.m. Thank God for it today. The Ziegler's are going to testify about what happened yesterday, and I'm going to use this microphone. And the worship team, you guys come up so we can finish strong today. Amen. Is it this? There we go. It'll turn on. Welcome the Ziegler's to the platform. They lead our clothing closet, and we're blessed to have them.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Yesterday, I just can't explain how excited God made me and all of us, Father God. I mean, he just blessed us. We blessed 30 families yesterday, and total family members would be 90. And we got to pray for people. We got to just fellowship with them. And, I mean, we had a full house. It was wonderful. And then I also mentioned to them, you know, how we're planning on purchasing a building and putting it outside and making it a real store, a free store, where they're going to come in and be able to just, you know, get whatever they want. And they were so excited when I told them about that. And I said, we are picking up donations for that. Well, they gave us, that community was so excited, they gave us $50. We collected $50. We blessed them, and they're blessing us in return. Yes, yes. And so we were so excited. And then we also went out and we prayed on the land. Thank you, Sister Comfort. She gave a powerful prayer over the land. And I could picture the building already. I could picture the building. I could picture the doors open. I could picture the people coming in. I could picture the cars coming in. And the donations, everything, I pictured it. So I know God is faithful. It's coming. And like I told the people, I said, look, donate whatever God tells you to do. Give me your pennies, your nickels, your dimes, your quarters. Because God told me that he was going to make those nickels add up. He's going to add up the quarters, the dollars, everything. And he sure did. So we are so blessed.
I just want to thank everybody for supporting us, supporting the closet. I went to the shed to start unloading, and I'm going, where did all this stuff come from? I mean, it just keeps coming and coming and coming, and keeps being replenished every single time, because God's involved in this, and he's going to serve the community, whether we're here or not. So he's using us to serve the community, so the community has what they need to live life, and for us to minister to them. And we even had a homeless couple come in the front over there, and we ministered to them. And because we're going to class, and because we're coming here, and we're being fed every Sunday, we knew what to tell them. We knew how to minister to them. We had the heart and the desire to minister to this couple, and we heard their story, and we prayed over them. And those are things I never would do. I couldn't care less. You know, and my heart's been totally changed by serving. So yours can too. You can join us.
I also want to say thank you for our helpers. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't get this job done. Leonard and I and Edna couldn't do it ourselves, but we had helpers both days, and we just thank you, and we bless you.
Prayer for the tithe and the offering. Lay your hand on that. Amen.
Okay.
I was looking at your ponytail in the back. So maybe we can do a cage match. And
I'll auction it off.
We thank the Lord. And then there's three ways to give. You guys know the routine at Living Faith Church, so they're on the screen. Ask God's blessing upon us today, sir.
Father God, thank you so much for giving us all that we have, dear Father, and you're the master of everything, the owner of everything. We're just so grateful that we can give back to you, dear Father. Bless the offering today, that it will grow and it will serve your purpose, dear Father, on this earth and in this community. We're just so, again, I give you thanks for all that you provide for us and help us to provide for your glory and your kingdom here and on this earth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
God is wanting to touch this community through our church, through Living Faith Church. And how we do that is through our giving today. Again, there's the ways to give. As we worship God, we give today. As we worship God, would we stand to our feet and worship God today in our giving?
No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves a 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still. Shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, and leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it, still you give yourself.
The love of the Lord. Make sure you shake somebody's hand on the way out.